Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the show. And I'm always excited to be in here to talk about my new favorite show, which is, of course, The Bachelor. And if you're sitting there thinking, hold up, you are not the type of person who should or could be talking about The Bachelor with any kind of authority. Firstly, rude. But secondly, you're right. And so I invited one of the foremost authorities on all things Bachelor in here to tell me what I and all of you should be thinking. It is, of course, the great Melissa Sullivan, better known as Mel Got Served. Mel, how are you doing?
I'm great. Thank you very, very much for having me. Welcome back. I'm so excited to have you in Bachelor Nation.
Thank you. Thank you. It's good to be here.
Yeah. Are you thrilled to be a member of the Nation of Bachelor?
I'm unsure yet. Give it time. I'll deliver a final verdict at the end of the season, which I'm told is not the best one to come back to if I'm coming back after a long break.
No, I'll say this, though. I'm going to give some pros to this, which is that going into this like current season right now, I really was not into it. I'm still not into Colton in any capacity, but we're at what, hometown dates, and I genuinely don't know who he's going to pick, and that makes the show actually exciting to me for once. Like, it's one of those times where it's like I would love to read spoilers because I'm dying to know, but then I don't because then what do I have to look forward to watch?
Yeah, let's touch on that whole Bachelor spoiler community because I come from watching Big Brother, where you basically can't be spoiled, although there's this whole thing with like things that are happening live versus things on the broadcast and so on. And then Survivor, where I will cut anyone who tries to spoil me about anything. But then coming into The Bachelor, as I understand it, people actively seek out spoilers. They enhance the enjoyment of the show for a lot of people, like knowing what the whole season is building towards and giving them something to focus on when they're watching. And the whole culture around spoilers seems totally different here.
You know what? I actually used to be a devout Reality Steve reader. I was fascinated by it. It started, so my history with The Bachelor is I watched the show in the beginning. And then I took that, you know how everyone takes that break in college because of Survivor and you're like, oh, I missed a couple seasons because of college. That was me with The Bachelor. And I got back into it the season where Deanna was The Bachelorette was the first time I was back. And then the season after that was Jason, who is, you know, one of the most famous moments in Bachelor history, where Jason had picked this girl, Melissa, great name, by the way, and broke up with Melissa allegedly after the final rose, the reunion special, and chose to go with his second place, Molly. And it all happened actually in like emails and phone calls, and Reality Steve had found all that. And it was like the most epic stuff to read, and it was crazy. And so I used to really get into reading the spoilers and getting excited and figuring out if it was true. And I think for a long time it was that anticipation of like, when will he be wrong? But then I did just kind of get burned out on like, what am I watching the show for if I know what's going to happen? I liked kind of looking into it and seeing like, what were the signs? But then it's also like taking away from the grand scheme of, you know, the joy of finding love on television, which also seems to be not the point of the show anymore, but that's a whole other convo.
And with those spoilers, it feels like it could go either way there, where if you know what's coming, you see this car crash in slow motion, that gives you something that you can really hype up as the season is progressing, and it's something that Bachelor fans can talk about and speculate over, and it makes all of the episodes leading up to that much more exciting, and you, like, there are all of these moments in the show which, with that knowledge in mind, you see in a totally different light. But on the other hand, if you knew nothing about this, and it might be hard if you're talking in the Bachelor community to avoid picking up what they're putting down, because that's just how spoilers work. It's hard to avoid giving those clues away. But if you somehow remained completely untainted by all of that, then when that bomb finally dropped, it would be completely sensational. So it's almost like you're trading that one amazing moment, that one big reveal, for a just continuous heightened enjoyment over the season, if that makes sense.
Right. We actually, it's funny, a lot of us who, I actually have a lot of friends who watch The Bachelor, shocking. It's like the hot topic when we go to work and stuff. And it's like the first thing you ask someone, which is like, are you spoiled or not? So that you know where to curb your conversation. And most people don't read spoilers. I do have somebody who did read it and kind of like teases, like, because to me, it's a very like unobvious choice this time, but maybe it is obvious. I don't know. Go back and forth. But she's saying, you know, no, like if you knew it, you would see it, like if you're watching it. But I guess for them, it's maybe the people who are seeing spoilers are actually seeing the side of the show that it's supposed to be, which is that you're seeing a love story develop versus the rest of us viewers now are really just watching like the setup for the next Bachelorette or why someone doesn't get picked, as opposed to like really basking and enjoying the idea of like this good old Denver boy virgin is going to find a wife. Like, we don't really care about that because they just set everyone up for failure.
Yeah, let's get into what it means to watch The Bachelor for the right reasons, because it feels like it's trying to be a lot of things to a lot of different people. So you do have the crowd who watch it because they want to see Romeo meeting Juliet, right? They want to see the prince or the princess finding their one true love. But then you have a lot of people who are kind of cynical and jaded about the whole thing, mostly from having watched The Bachelor for so long, and who see it as this production, right? This thing where you get a lot of drama and you get to talk about how like vapid some of the leaders or some of the people in the house, and it's almost a thing that you love to hate, and that becomes what people bond over with the show. So where are you with all of that? Like, why do you watch it, and are you getting what you're hoping for from this season so far?
That is the deepest question I've ever been asked about the show. I don't know why I still watch, and I go back and forth, because I even going back to the beginning, I don't think I ever watched it with the intent of like, I'm not a hopeless romantic. That's not my style. Like, romantic comedies are not my thing. I don't know why I watch it. Like, it's like you just can't turn away. But I do know what keeps me watching is I love the community on Twitter, live tweeting The Bachelor, Bachelor in Paradise, The Bachelor. It's like my favorite thing to do. The people are hilarious. It's just like nonstop jokes for 2 hours and like clever, awesome people. And there is like dialogue and discussion to have. But yeah, it's weird that I keep watching it, because I don't watch it and think like, I can't wait to find my number one and all this stuff. I just enjoy the ride every time.
So does the tone of that discussion change depending on how the season's going? Because if it's a season where you have a lead who people actually like and want to find love, and then the moment that one of the women steps out of the limo, you can tell that it's meant to be and that she's his choice, and they're just going through the motions with everyone else because they have a whole season to fill. Is it different then versus a season like this, where it's kind of a hot mess and you have no idea what's going on, and the lead himself has no idea what's going on either?
Oh, yeah. So I am the one person that still says that the greatest season of The Bachelor is Juan Pablo. I think I'm his only supporter of his season. I'm not saying I like Juan Pablo as a person. I'm saying that season was magical, train wreck city. It was great. It was kind of clear for a while who was going to pick. And that kind of ties into this week's date of why I was surprised with what happened with Hannah B, because Juan Pablo introduced the girl he picked, Nikki, to his daughter and family, like really early in the process. I loved that season because it was a mess and you didn't know what was happening. And he clearly wasn't interested in any of them, at least in a deeper level. He just wanted to, you know, bang in the ocean and, you know, whatever. I do know that, like, I remember the season to me that where I had this sort of click with this show of like, here's what's wrong with The Bachelor, was when Rachel was the Bachelorette and the whole finale was focused on her not picking Peter, and like everyone just screamed at her online and sending her hate for not picking Peter and picking Brian. And I realized that I have this whole thing where every time I usually pick a person that I hate, like with a passion, that's who wins the show. And I think that the show has just always done a really poor job now of showing you why you should like somebody and is more invested in showing the failure of somebody else. And I think that when you can tell that the show is not really interested in showing you why they are into a person and like why it's going to work out, then it's not very interesting.
Is that the show failing to deliver what you want to see from it, or is it the show failing to deliver on its own terms? Because one of the things I'm trying to work out as I get back into the show, for lack of a better phrase, is what they're really aiming for, what outcome they're hoping, and I guess behind the scenes trying to subtly or not so subtly guide the lead towards. Because do they want this fairy tale romance, or is it better for them if they have a lead like Colton, who is completely ill-equipped for this, has no idea what he's getting himself into, and probably for his own sanity shouldn't be part of this process in the first place?
Yeah, that's another good question. I really think that the show hasn't either, it used to really be about like, what's the end proposal? What's the big deal? But now the proposal at the end is like 4 minutes of a finale. It's like really quick. You just aren't really invested in it. So if you are a hopeless romantic of the show, that'd be a great question for somebody who is like, this is what I watch The Bachelor because I want to see love happen. And I mean, I do like it. I do get excited when there's like an actual success of the show. Well, to an extent, I think that's an overstatement, but you know, it's nice to see if it works out. You want to say there's a success rate, not like a failure rate. And maybe that's why I do like Paradise a little better, because for some reason they seem to be hitting it out of the park with success.
I guess maybe a failure also sets up the next season better, because if you have a lead who makes the wrong choice or doesn't really know how to make the right choice for them, then one of the rejects who everyone ends up rooting for, and clearly they were the right choice, and how could he turn him or her down and not see what potential they had, that's then the obvious choice for the next Bachelor or Bachelorette, and then the whole cycle just repeats and feeds on itself over and over again.
Yes, exactly. That is exactly it. They're more invested in let's get next season ready, as opposed to let's tell this complete story of why we're watching this person's journey in love and whatever. I think on this season 2 in particular, they're just really concerned with fantasy suites and is Colton going to have sex in the fantasy suite? And then they literally do not care what happens after that. That's what this season is all building up to. And apparently they care about.
Which it seems like a sign of desperation for the franchise if that's the one big hook that they need to differentiate this season from all of the others that have come before or will come after it.
Right. I can't remember if they made this big a deal about when Sean Lowe was on it, because Sean Lowe was a born again virgin or whatever it's called. And I don't remember them making that big of a deal about it then, but I don't know. I look now, and this is a season that I really figured out too when I look at it, of the business behind The Bachelor and like why you would choose something. And I feel like the choice of Colton was a very like researched process of like why this person and not say Blake, who is the runner up, which is the kind of go ahead standard for the most part of the show. And I think that Blake's story of kind of a guy with anxieties and all this stuff was not what they wanted to portray. And instead you have the choice of like this young, good looking football player virgin that middle America will really identify with. I think that everyone's very focused on Twitter, like we're these snarky people, but I think there is that subset of kind of like the Big Brother cat ladies and the people who watch Big Brother who vote and are like genuinely invested in people in a different way. And I think we underestimate that is the audience of The Bachelor. They're just not the vocal people that are on the internet.
Get into a little bit more detail on that initial choice of Colton and how he was perceived in his season and then coming into this one, because as I alluded to at the top, I am the casual fan this time in that role reversal. I am the man on the street. I am the person who has no idea what's going on. So for me and the legions of people like me out there, give us a lowdown on Colton 1.0, I suppose.
So you're like the Rupert fan of Bachelor Nation.
Absolutely.
You're like, oh, bring back Rupert. Okay, so Colton was on last season with Becca, another season where we got to watch a person choose someone that the public hated, for better reasons last time. And so Colton made it to 4th place, I believe, and then he was dumped and he claimed he was falling in love with Becca, but I don't think any of us believed it. But
did Becca believe it? Did he believe it?
He says he was. I don't think anyone really believes it, because the whole turmoil of Colton in both Becca's season and then it leads into his little stint in Paradise was that Colton had briefly dated another woman from the Bachelor franchise named Tia. And the big question was, were Colton and Tia a bigger deal? Is Tia still in love or has feelings for Colton? And Tia popped up and it was just the Bachelor Nation hated this story. It went on forever. It was beating a dead horse. Sorry, I don't remember what the new PETA standard is for that. So it was just torture to sit through that over and over. So when he was gone, I think it was a relief. And then Bachelor in Paradise was announced. And sure enough, Tia was there. And we all knew that meant that Colton would come. And the storyline of Bachelor in Paradise was that Colton and Tia really did have feelings and they're in it together. And then Colton changed his mind after us having to deal with the will they, won't they for I don't know how many weeks of Paradise. It felt like an entire summer's worth of torture, but instead it was probably like 3 weeks. But he ultimately left Paradise early because he didn't want to lead her on. He wasn't into her. So we were already pretty much at that point, like you have tortured us in 2 different shows in 2018 about your feelings for Tia, and no one was ready for him for Bachelor. And a lot of people really liked Blake. He was just seemed like a good dude. And there was also this guy, Jason, who is from Buffalo, New York, and, you know, took Becca to make or eat chicken wings. There were better options. We could be watching chicken wings. That's all I'm saying.
And did the fan base take Colton's side in that or Tia's side in that? Or was it the case that when all of that was said and done, everyone was so sick of both of them that it was just a plague on both your houses?
Plague on both your houses. I think we're all sick of both of them. I can't even I was so tired of Tia in Paradise. I don't even remember her book, like her story. I think she left afterwards too. I think she was so like, I'm worn out from this, because she was seeing somebody else before Colton and that failed. And then she was into Colton and then that failed. And then I think she left. It was too much. Too much Colton. So everyone was ready for a break from Colton. And then they're like, better news. How about an entire season of Colton? And then everyone was like, oh, and then this is every year for The Bachelor, is when they pick The Bachelor ensues the 24 hours of, I will not watch this season because this person's the lead.
And then they all come crawling back. Yeah. Exactly.
But
this season was doomed from the start then, it sounds like.
Yeah. But none of us wanted to watch it. I always say, I hate them, but I will watch. I never like the lead. It's usually about the cast anyways. I think nobody usually likes the lead. You get these supporting players. You're basically just watching everyone audition for Bachelor Paradise because the odds of you winning his heart is, you know, slim to none. But, you know, Instagram famous forever.
And does that go for The Bachelorette as well? Or because one of these things I wonder as well is how much of the reaction to The Bachelor is symmetrical for The Bachelorette and vice versa?
I'd say it's the same. We hate everything. We're equal haters on both sides. The Bachelorette, of course, still has, and I believe Andy Denhart of Reality Blur has a really interesting piece about this, and somebody else might have written it. I can't remember. It's kind of a collaborative effort. That the weird part of Bachelorette still is that despite being promoted as this empowering thing about what the women want, that at the end of it, the woman is still being proposed to, as opposed to being the proposer, even though she's the one in power and all this. It's always also a very awkward experience on that you end up seeing a man have to propose and then her like make him get up off his knee and say, you know, not into you. But I do think the Bachelorette's had a lot more instances of dismissing people before the end to make sure they don't go through total humiliation versus The Bachelor, but that's because, you know, the woman doesn't have to get down on her knees, she just has to show up and get dumped.
Right, and so you don't get the same kind of switcheroos on The Bachelorette.
Right. They're a little kinder sometimes, and I think success rate-wise, The Bachelorette is the more successful of producing long-term relationships that are lead to marriages, children, etc., or at least like long-term dating compared to The Bachelor. And actually, now that I think of it, only one Bachelor met the person that it was the person he picked and he stuck with them, and that was Sean and Catherine. The other two successes from The Bachelor are Ari and Jason, both of which dumped the first place to choose the second place.
Which I guess makes sense in a way, because if they knew what they wanted the whole time and then they just had these last minute doubts, but then having to break that in such a taboo way is maybe an even better sign of commitment. I don't know. Do you have any theories on that?
It's interesting. They always have said that a lot of times, you know, and then this goes into life, which is that you don't meet like 30 people you're interested in. You meet a group and there's maybe, you know, 2-3 people who pique your interest, and so the rest of it is going through the motions. I think you mentioned kind of that too, that like sometimes they know right from the beginning. One of the Bachelor franchise tropes is the first impression rose, which is a lot of times the person who receives the first impression at night one is who gets chosen at the end. That's really popular on The Bachelorette for the most part. Whoever they were into night one is usually who they're going to stick with. I forget where I was going with this, but it's kind of a common thing to just have a few that you're into, the rest of the motions. And it's, I guess it makes sense that like you might be indecisive at the end, but at the same time, I mean, that's kind of a scary thought. And it's a bummer for, of course, one person gets picked and gets proposed to, gets engaged and has that experience of a failed engagement. And, you know, it's uncomfortable TV, especially Ari, who made us actually watch him dump the fiance on television for an extended period of time. I don't know if you watched that delightful 2-hour spectacular.
I heard enough about the scandal from it to watch the the breakup and then the new proposal. So I tuned in for the best part and then managed to avoid sitting through the rest, which maybe is what I should be doing this season. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe you just need like a best of YouTube reel kind of thing, a clip show. Now they're doing a lot of like the back the Survivor secret scenes, but they're doing it for Bachelor, so you get to find out these little gems. Like this week they said, we know you didn't see Hannah G get her rose. Would you like to? And the answer was no, because it seemed boring.
And also, like, could they really not fit this up into the 2 hours that they get every week?
Oh my God. This is the reason that maybe The Bachelor can also be mental torture, which is just the 2 hour filling, which again is a total, like, it's an easy business decision for ABC. I see it from that angle. But oh my God, when they announce it's a 2-night event, and or even sometimes rarely, but it happens, like a 3-hour thing or like an extended one. When I know it's a 2-night event, I think of how much of my life I'm wasting with The Bachelor, and I get very, very sad. And then I don't miss a minute of it, but I do get very upset.
One of the fun Twitter episodes from this week is Jeff Probst asking the masses at large if 1 hour is too short for the Survivor premiere, and if they think that all the kids watching at home might be able to handle 2 hours on a school night and being bombarded with people begging for as much screen time from the premiere as possible. And then you look at The Bachelor and they're getting 2 hours a week and a 3-hour premiere, which honestly, I'm impressed with myself that I was able to stick with. I guess I didn't stick with it because I didn't watch until last week after that. But the idea of anyone who isn't already hopelessly addicted to The Bachelor being able to endure all of that is very daunting. And if I hadn't been watching it basically under duress and as a exercise for myself, then I don't know if I would have made it out the other end.
Oh my God. I'll get to that in 1 second. And I just want to say that I tweeted to Jeff Probst on Survivor premiere night to ask a very important question, which was, what cookie should I get for my premiere watch? And he never answered. So the fact that he had time to ask if it was 2 hours or 1 hour that we preferred just boggles my mind. Yeah. He couldn't just answer a simple cookie question.
He knows the answer to his question and you don't know the answer to yours. So like,
yeah,
where is his time going?
Jeff, we always want 90, 60 is too short. 2 hours is too long. 90.
Yeah, give me a 90-minute premiere and a 90-minute merge, and I will have no further complaints. You can have as many idols, celebrities, whatever you want. Just you can go nuts. Just give me some more time, and I'll be happy camper.
Yeah, and I would say Bachelor, I think you can go to 90 too. But like I would say 90 plus. Like I like a little bit of the after show. I enjoyed when they had those. The premiere of this season was 3 of the worst hours of my entire life, I think. I had what I call my Bachelor breakdown. And you said Bachelor breakdown. It was torture. And the fact that you came back, even at this point after that, is just you having a lot of faith in this franchise. It was, first of all, I tracked this. It was 45 or 50 minutes was the first time that they even showed Colton in that premiere. Because they know everyone hated him. It was all other people. There were people in a hot tub. There were babies. There were, I don't know what was happening. I got so upset. And then they made some montage about Chris Harrison and that he's been doing the show for 17 years.
And we got and to check in dad. With, we got to check in with Chris Harrison's mom as well, which was a definite highlight yes. of the evening.
I mean, was it a nice montage? Yes. But what hit me in that statement of 17 years was, this is my Bachelor midlife crisis, where I was like, I've watched this show for half my life. And I was like, what have I done? Think of all the hours I've wasted. Oh my God. The only thing that helped perk me up after that entire 3-hour debacle was when they did show the montage of Chris Harrison clips that they showed one of my favorite moments in Bachelor history, which was in Bachelor in Paradise, when Chris Harrison chastised this guy, Chad, who was super drunk and obnoxious in Paradise and said, you told everyone in this hotel last night to suck your dick. And it is the funniest thing. It was told so seriously. Besides that, if that didn't happen, I don't know how. And then it's that I'm a glutton for punishment because I came back.
And honestly, I could have just watched that clip on YouTube in, I don't know, 3 minutes rather than 3 hours and really got everything that I was going to get out of that evening.
Yeah, I struggle. I write recaps every week for The Bachelor. How many people read them? Don't know. I kind of do it as a way to stay creative and to stay snarky and have fun. And I feel like for the few people that probably do read them. I'm doing the work for you so that you don't have to sit through what can be torture, because it's just so long. I feel like I've said torture 100 times. I should be typing in like in a thesaurus online to give you guys a different word. That's going to be like the feedback from fans. Please stop saying torture. But it is.
Look, if the shoe fits, then why not? But yeah, when he says that it's been 17 years, you start doing the math and you realize it's not just... Like, Survivor's been on for 2 decades now. But at least with that, it's 1 hour a week, 8 Eastern, 7 Central, and then you're done. And look, most of us spend hours listening to podcasts and then debating stuff on Twitter, but we don't have to, you know. The show itself is limited to the hour that it puts out every week. The Bachelor is... 2 hours a week, you've got a 3-hour premiere, you have the men tell all, women tell all, and then Bachelor in Paradise, Bachelor Pad, which really needs to come back. I would definitely tune in for that.
Oh my God, you know I love my Bachelor Pad. I think we've discussed the Bachelor Pad 3 ending many a times.
Maybe the best thing that I've seen in reality TV. It's definitely up there, at least.
Yes.
But there's this whole like extended cinematic universe for The Bachelor as well. So even if the 2 hours a week weren't enough, and they are more than enough in some cases, there's this whole just feast to gorge yourself on, which you get bloated very quickly.
The Bachelor is life, because also Survivor is a game. You play the game. It's a show, and life goes on, and their life is not going back into Survivor, and you know they're back in the real world. The Bachelor is about people finding relationships and all this stuff, and there's hookups and there's spinoffs, and it's all the time. There's gossip and rumors, who's dating who broke up, who's doing this. It never ends. And yet I just can't leave it. I can't quit the Bachelor franchise, because as much as I hate it and I bitch and complain and I dislike people, I still watch because there's something about it that I guess I'm a sadist or something. I don't know. I think we all are. We all of us, like, we all say we hate it, but we all keep watching it.
Right, and actions speak louder than words eventually. But let's circle down and focus on this season then, because I have tuned out since the premiere, so I've missed all of the juicy drama over the, I don't know, 12 hours of continuous screen time that I've missed in between. So,
what you thankfully missed was, I would say about, if I did the math of episodes, and I can't even do that right now because there's what feels like so many, but it really isn't. I think we're on like, this was like week 7 or something, is that you missed, I would say, the bulk of the virginity stuff. I feel like that has been touched upon less. That was like a week 2, 3, 4, which is all they could talk about was Colton being a virgin.
Yeah, I was already sick of that by the end of the premiere that I watched. How excessive was it over the ensuing weeks? Because I imagine that
my
impression of The Bachelor is they didn't know when to stop flogging a dead horse, or again, whatever Peter approved metaphor we're allowed to use now.
It just never stopped. Like, it's not that big a deal. And I think that he just explained it well, but it's just like, then they keep bringing it up. And then every girl probably is told by producers, why don't you ask him about it? What to do it? And then there was the other side of it, which is that Colton's a virgin. He hasn't met somebody and he just wants to find the right person. That's a wonderful story about waiting for it. But then you've got these other girls that then feel like, because they have had sex, that it's shameful now and that they should have waited, because why not wait for that magical moment with this wonderful Colton of a catch? It just went on. It was absolutely terrible. It's virgin shaming, yet it's trying to act like it's like empowering him. It's terrible. None of us care if he has sex or not. Like, just do what you feel like. We just want to see the train wreck that ensues. And yeah, I just don't care about his virginity anymore.
Yeah, for a show that at least tries to claim that it's empowering people at times, for it to just revive these stereotypes right out of the 1700s is certainly not a good look. But again, they will have forgotten about it by next season and pretend that, you know, everything's just going on as normal.
And what you importantly also missed was really as they are reaching for things to fill drama, because once you stop talking about Colton's virginity, what else do you talk about? Is you missed the battle or rivalry of pageant frenemies, Hannah B, because there's two Hannahs, Hannah B and Kaylin, pageant rivals, talking smack on each other. Ultimately, it leads to really nothing and a truce, but they do talk shit about each other to Colton. I still don't know fully why. It just didn't really make sense. I feel like there's some stuff that they just don't want to air fully. fully publicly. But you miss that, and you're probably blessed for that.
Yeah, I don't feel like I certainly miss things, but I don't feel like I missed out on anything.
No, you're not going to go to the grave thinking, God, what happened when Colton went to Singapore?
Right. And let's talk about that quickly, because they went to Singapore, yeah. And in one of the episodes I did catch, they went to Vietnam. I don't know if the travel budget got a little boost this season or what, but it feels like they're just jet setting around the globe in a way that they typically don't.
They used to do a lot more jet setting. And then the last few seasons, it's been a little budget. I guess, you know, maybe here, hot theory, maybe knowing that fantasy suites probably won't be used, they use all that budget to travel to other places.
Does the fantasy suite typically need that big a budget?
I don't know. They're very fancy Airbnbs. It depends. But no, they used to travel a lot more and out of the country. But yeah, I do feel like lately it hasn't been as much. But now that they're already back in the U.S. and it's week 7, so either they're staying here forever or they're heading out again. But they actually are kind of places that have been done before. Not the same events, but they've been to Singapore. They've definitely been to Thailand, because I know that when it comes time to write a pun for a headline for the blog, I usually get stumped because I've used up my Thailand ones pretty heavily by this point. And it definitely went to Vietnam. Juan Pablo went to Vietnam. And I remember that it was like Juan Pablo went there. He went to South Korea. And it felt like he was going to a lot of like war-torn nations. And he did go to, you know what? I remember the best part of Juan Pablo's season was they went to the Shire, to Hobbiton, and it was clear,
New Zealand, right?
Yes, which is like, for any other person, you're like, this is heaven, a heaven on earth. And it was clear he had no idea where it was, and it was so great to just see something totally wasted. Like, that's an expensive trip, and it's just like, I'm here at the Shire. Oh, it was, maybe that's where Colton will propose, at the Shire. Maybe they go back there.
We can live in hope, but in addition to traveling around various parts of Asia this season, we're also going to Denver, back to Colton's hometown.
State, gorgeous.
Yeah, it looked fantastic, as it always does. And we check in with Ben Higgins, who, I'll say this, when they come back to Denver again, if we have another Colorado Bachelor, not so sure we'll be checking in with Colton, definitely checking in with Ben Higgins again, is my read on that situation.
They love Ben. I found Ben to be bland in both this wonderful advice-giving setting and even Ben's season. Ben Higgins' season was one of those ones that, when we go back to like what we were talking about earlier, that it was very clear who Ben was picking the whole time. He was really into Lauren B from the beginning. But then Ben had the scandal of telling the other girl, JoJo, that he was in love with her. And Ben has the distinction of being the first person on the show to say, I love you before the end, but also to two different people. And I think Ben is a good guy. And I think he's probably one of the most genuine people. But TV-wise, Ben was a drying paint. Just not.
Are there any of the male leads who aren't either terrible people or at least incredibly messy people or just soporifically boring on the other end?
Let's see. I liked Jason way back in the day. Jason's one of my favorite bachelors. A lot of them come to life, I feel like, after the show, you know, like like Sean Lowe didn't love him as the bachelor, but he's like kind of Twitter, you know, hilarious now. I usually like the bachelorettes more than I ever liked the bachelor. Ari was a terrible choice. Nobody wanted Ari. I don't remember why they even went with Ari. Nick was a mess. I didn't mind Nick coming, but Nick was already he was in the Colton territory of enough already. And that's kind of how the franchise goes, is whatever you think is like the worst choice, it doesn't make sense, that's what they're going to go with.
Mm-hmm. So we see Ben and Colton acting as if they've just been introduced for the first time, but my understanding is that they were friends after Colton's season of the Bachelorette, so they've known each other for a while now.
Yeah, they're all buds. Everybody in Bachelor Nation's friends, and they've done. Ben has a podcast with another former Bachelor Nation cast member, Ashley I. And actually, hot take from my mom, who listens to every Bachelor podcast, hates the show with passion, can't stop watching. So it's genetic. She said that outside of the show, Colton seems great. She said on the show, he seems like a miserable creature.
See, I don't even know if that's true. Not to fire shots at your mom here, but...
No, it's a hot take. I was like, I'm going to need more evidence of this than what you're just telling me here.
From what I hear, all the people who have like done research on Colton outside the show, or all of the outside the game information that's come to light doesn't paint him in a good light at all. So
they're all there for fame. Nobody's really there for love. It's a slim chance you're going. I've always said that if for some reason I were on The Bachelor, one is I'd be cut immediately night one. I'd probably be cut out of the limo. I would get out of the limo and they would be like, next. One of my favorite dating shows ever. But I always say, I would literally say, I'm here for the vacations. I don't know. You're not allowed to say that. Well, 100%, they're there for vacation.
Well, that's why this whole scandal or an intrigue over who said they wanted to be in contention for the next Bachelorette or whatever seemed so silly to me. Because firstly, they just have nothing else to talk about, right?
Yeah.
And secondly, that they all know what the deal is. And even if they are there for love, then if they do sincerely want to marry Colton, then they know that that's only going to be on the table for one of them, at most, hopefully. And so, yeah, if you're there for love, it would be nice to have another way to find love if this one falls through. So even in the best interpretation, it makes sense. And of course, some of them are just there to get Instagram followers and get more airtime and hopefully be the next Bachelorette themselves, which is kind of a shitty thing to be there for. But you know what the deal is. Everyone knows how the game is played at this point.
Exactly. Like, if you're looking for love and you want to be the Bachelorette, like, you used to get paid a ton. I heard they don't get paid as, I mean, you get paid well, but they used to make a lot of money. They used to make like six figures. I think it's less now. But like all these endorsements you get, being able to kind of skate by. And if you are the Bachelorette, like, you are looking for love, and it's going to be allegedly more tailored for you. Probably not. They're just casting people, and like one or two are probably going to pique your interest. But like, why not? And yeah. I mean, all it could have taken for this whole thing that's going off the rails this week was somebody saying, if I were the Bachelorette, I wouldn't want to go to Denver. And then that's a whole thing. That's probably all I would talk about. And I would say, like, if I were the Bachelorette, we would have a pizza party date. If I were a Bachelorette, we'd go to Dave and Buster's, you know, like, I feel like that's all you could do. What are you going to talk about?
Yeah, for a show that promotes all of these romantic fantasies, the idea that fantasizing about being the Bachelorette is somehow off limits seems like complete nonsense. But
and at least they're dreaming big, because they're not talking about paradise. And that's actually what I would be. It's that when I go to paradise and I become best friends with Jorge the bartender, which would be my only reason, but he's not there anymore because he's gone on to bigger and better things than the show. That's my favorite success story of The Bachelor, by the way, is Jorge the bartender. Everyone talks about love stories, whatever. Jorge the bartender was a bartender at a Mexican resort that apparently has no air conditioning, according to these people. Got famous, made money off of the show, you know, got a little notoriety, and then used that to start his own travel business down in Mexico. And now he's pursuing his dream of doing like tours and bringing people around Mexico and showing the beauty of where he's from. Like, that's the success story I care about. How amazing is that? I love Jorge, and he follows me on Twitter. And that,
well, yes. So
follow-up life.
Clearly good taste, among other things, and an impressive business sense, you know, good hustle. So yeah, I don't know this guy, but he sounds like he has a good head on his shoulders.
He's fantastic. He's a star. If you watch, I feel like you would be more of a paradise man than a main bachelor or bachelorette. And most people do like paradise better now, because it's fun. It's short and brief, and it's a little too intense. I mean, it's a 4 to 5 hour time commitment a week, depending on how much they feel like torturing us, but it's more fun. I don't know what it is. There's something about it that's a little more entertaining.
Mm-hmm. I'll give that a try, at least for the premiere, which I'm hoping is not 3 hours, but if it's that good, then maybe it should be. Maybe that's what I should be hoping for.
It's summer fun. You know what? There's nothing else on. Paradise is filler. We've got 3 weeks until our new show start in September. What do we do? And they go, just throw this cheap show on. Maybe they'll find love. Maybe they won't. Will it last? Who knows? Who cares? Let's get some Instagram followers. Let's have a little fun in the sun. It's like Love Island, but just without any of the like full investment of time that it takes to watch that show. I've been in a real spot. Maybe that's it. Maybe I'm burned out on The Bachelor because I've watched so much Love Island, and it is a real time investment compared to The Bachelor. So I probably can't even complain.
It feels like when I was in the UK, I successfully managed to avoid all talk about Love Island. And now that I'm safely ensconced in Canada, yeah, I can't get away from it. All of my friends are talking about how much they love Love Island.
I know. It's ingrained in our DNA. It's like a logical progression. We've watched a lot of other dating shows. There's a lot of other trash that we all watch in Bachelor Nation. And that's what's nice, is that our common connector is there, and then we all branch off. Do we watch 90 Day Fiancé? Do we watch Love Island? I tried to do Temptation Island again, just couldn't do it, too boring. And maybe it actually got good. I was just kind of like, I put on before I went to sleep. It was that boring.
Mm-hmm. So returning to the main plot here, we have Ben and Colton uniting or reuniting, rather, and it's tough for Ben. Yeah, it's tough for Ben to really offer any useful advice because, as you said, he knew who he set his eyes on the moment she stepped out of the limo, whereas Colton seems indecisive to a fault. And even going to this final four, I don't know if he's made his mind up yet. I don't know if they've made their mind up about him. So the idea of this just inevitability that Ben had is completely off the table. So I'm not sure what Ben could even say that Colton would find useful.
No, I found actually the advice from Ben to be a waste and, of course, a time filler for 5 minutes of the episode. Later, we got, not to jump ahead and spoil, we got to see Colton's dad, and that guy had actual advice to listen to, and it was much better than having to deal with Colton. I would have preferred a little bit longer of him getting advice from his family. I'm sure maybe he talked to his mom and she had some words of wisdom because that date was really quick, but they Dad understands Colton. Ben is just, we gotta fill time. Who from this franchise lives in Denver too? We got Ben. People like Ben. Sure. Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah, Colton's family, I assume, has had to put up with his bullshit for years now. So they're sick of it. And they maybe know him. Yeah, they know him better than anyone, but I'm not sure they even care about the outcome of The Bachelor. It's just this like weird experiment that their son happens to have gone on.
I bet when they were like, son, enough, we watched you enough, like we're tired, we no more, please, we don't care.
His family seemed mostly like unremarkable, the kind of family that you would expect someone like Colton to have.
I totally even forgot most of their existence other than the dad because he was the only one who had screen time. They were just there. It's really weird that we're seeing the family. I understand that they're in Denver, but meeting families outside of like the final episode is surprising because that's like a really big deal. And that's why I thought this week in particular was a real messed up date that they brought a girl that it was very clear he was not into to meet his family.
Zero chemistry. Yeah.
And she was in my fantasy league and I'm like totally out this week. So, you know, a little harsh bummer, but how cruel is that? That you take a girl on a date that, you know, like I'm not into her, introduce to the family and the girl's like, this is it. Like, this is huge. And then,
right. And the other girls must have been wondering what was happening too. Like, if Hannah B gets to jump the queue and she gets the one-on-one date with the family, like at that point, you would think she's the automatic front runner, but maybe not. Cause you said that there's some precedent with Juan Pablo who kind of did a similar thing, but do you have any theories as to why they let the family date happen this early? Is it just that so many people are quitting on Colton and dumping him that they had to move the schedule around? Or what do you think is going on there?
I think, you know what? I don't know why they would. I guess, is there really nothing to do in Denver? I feel like I could have gone to Casa Bonita, I said. Could have walked a lot of places besides going to his parents' house. There's been a few things this time where it feels like that producer interference that we don't like to talk about. You know, like if Survivor has Edgic, then The Bachelor has producer interference is the thing. And for instance, last week on the episode where Demi got to call her mom when they don't have cell phones, her mom who just got out of prison. I feel like the show allowed that to happen because they knew we're not going to hometowns to see this, but we need to exploit this as much as possible. And I think that was their aim there. And I think for Hannah B, she thought she was really tight with Colton. I think she thought she had this in the bag. And I think it was a slick move by producers to create drama and to make it really messed up. And indeed it was.
What did you make of the pink dress that made an appearance this week?
You know what? Everyone hated it. I thought she looked like a Barbie that I played with in like 1989. I thought it was all right. I didn't think it was that bad. I don't know. I've seen far worse on the show.
Hot on the heels of Twitter having vigorous debates over the blue and black dress, the white and gold dress. We now have the pink dress, which is
the dress of 2019.
Yeah. This is the one that's now turning people against each other.
It didn't bother me that much. I was just maybe so captivated by how excruciatingly pained Colton's face was the whole time and him putting on a front like he cares. And even she picked up that like the vibe was off in that car and he's like, it's fine. It was just uncomfortable. But I'll say, you know what I'll say? I'm not pro dress, and I'm apathetic dress.
Yeah, I like to think that I'm bluffing my way through a Bachelor podcast here, but I really do and could not have any opinion on the pink dress. It's completely out of my remit here.
No, like I said, there have been far worse outfits that I've ever seen on the show, and I just can't think of them. But the best part of The Bachelor is everyone thinks they're very stylish, and that maybe it's perceived as stylish, and they just look like morons a lot, and they just dress terribly. And I don't know what to think, so I'll just go with it. Could be worse. Mm.
So jumping back a bit here, after we have Ben and Colton have their bro date, we get to meet Colton's dog, who really is the main star of the episode and possibly of the franchise at this point.
Oh, that's all I cared about that episode. You could ask what happened this episode. I'll say Hannah B got dumped, somebody snitched, and there was a beautiful dog eating ice cream, a little old man dog having a scoop of ice cream in a cone.
I would add Heather looking forlorn on the train, like that tiny toy train as it slowly slinked down at the top.
I got to I learned that it's spelled with a C, not a K. And I know that I probably should know that at my point in life, but I did learn that this week when I typed caboose as a joke.
Well, see, The Bachelor is educational, informative, exactly the type of show that your kids should be watching.
Exactly.
But yeah, we meet Colton's dog, and I know this can't be a new idea at this point, but could we just have a dog version of The Bachelor where the dog is the lead and everyone is auditioning for the right to own the dog? They could take it on individual walks. You could have group walks. I feel like there's a lot of stuff you could do with that premise.
Oh, I don't see here. And I love it. And yet I know I couldn't, because imagine the idea of like somebody's going to find a dog. They have to audition 30 dogs. What happens to 29 of those dogs? I feel like I couldn't take the heartbreak of a dog being declined, unless like everything always ends with, you know, then that dog gets immediately adopted by someone. That would be both beautiful and heartbreaking. But there is a viral video, I think, of the Dog Bachelor. So I think you could probably find something to suit your fancy.
I guess the rejects could go on the version of Bachelor in Paradise where all the puppies are just running free and it is glorious.
That would be, if I had like a date, when I'm Bachelorette, if I was, you know, there listing my dates, it would be one where it's just like puppies just engulf you. You just go lay on the floor somewhere and like puppies just crawl over you and kiss you, and you can give them treats and they're really nice. That's a dream date. I don't know why that has not happened.
I'm only half getting here, but I feel like how your dog responds to each of the contestants is actually maybe a better indication, especially for someone like Colton, who doesn't know his own mind, of who's really there for the right reasons.
That is a great idea. Now, I recall others have shown their dog. Rachel had her dog Copper with her for a fair amount of the trip, I believe, when she was in the U.S. Copper was a beautiful dog. And they did do like a dog party. And of course, to really kick off the festivities, they had the Baja Men there and they performed their hit song, Who Let the Dogs Out? So they really know how to, like, if you're going to do a dog date, knock it out of the park.
So you could tell me that and I would be absolutely credulous and believe it, but it doesn't surprise me at all coming from The Bachelor. It sounds like exactly the kind of low-hanging fruit that they would take a swing at.
You know what? I actually think, why do I watch The Bachelor? I think it's that I look forward to like what ridiculous dates they go on, both good and bad. I like to see if they raise the stakes, who are the weird celebrities that show up on the show, what kind of weird stuff. I used to be, they don't do it as much anymore, but I am obsessed with Bachelor helicopter dates. It's like a big deal. There was one season, the other Ben, not Ben Higgins, Ben Flagnick, whatever you pronounce his last name. Yeah, I say it. Flagnjnik. I don't know. Ben was a great season. That was a mess. And Ben's episodes were like every date had a helicopter and it was magical. So Bachelor helicopter dates is why I stick around. And weird, absurd dates that it's just... Who dreams this crap up?
Maybe that's where the travel budget came from, just redirecting the helicopter budget that must have been pretty good if they managed to do that every episode.
I think they've had two this season, maybe. Yeah, but it used to be more extravagant. I do know, it used to be like if you were the lead, you got paid at least $100,000. And Emily Maynard, when she was Bachelorette, was, I believe, the most expensive, like, that they've ever had. I think she negotiated for, and if I'm wrong, sorry, Bachelor Nation, who is listening. I believe she got like $250,000 to do the show.
Wow. So even if she didn't find love, she was set for life.
Yeah, she's pretty good. You know, it's all about building your brand and all that stuff. And, you know, she's happily married now to somebody not from this show. So it all worked out.
Fair enough. Do you think that Who Let the Dogs Out would have worked better if it was a solo concert in a massive auditorium?
100%. That would be like, that's like, if you let me plan the show, it would be so absurd. It would be the worst season of the show, but it would be like amusing of like, what is going on? Just what's happening? It would be, I would get first, there would definitely be maybe like a Michael Bolton date or like a Yacht Rock date, like something like a Yacht Rock party. We all like, I'll rent a yacht and then you get a Michael McDonald cover artist. And that would be the date.
You're just painting on a blank canvas here. You can do whatever you want.
A whole podcast of like, let's brainstorm ideas and then see how many are stolen in the next 2 years for the show. Did you ever hear or watch a Burning Love, the Bachelor parody show?
No.
So it was by all these comedians. It's hilarious. The first season, it's Ken Marino, and the show is called Burning Love, and he's a fireman looking for love. And it was just complete send-up of The Bachelor, absurd dates. And like half the dates, if not more by this point, that were on that show as jokes have been legitimate dates on the franchise.
So it's actually, it's better than whatever, you know, high paid production team they bring in every season. They could just go back to that same well over and over again.
Yeah, they're like, let's just go back to Burning Love. Oh, they did a rap battle. We could do a rap battle. No, you can't. Please don't. No more rap battles on the show.
That must have been an off-season podcast at some point. It's just letting people come up with their perfect Bachelor season with all the, you know, all the dates they could dream of.
Yeah, like, let's just make a whiteboard. Let's spitboard this. I feel like we could have a really good list to send them. I listened to one podcast, and they're doing that for Margaritaville, the Jimmy Buffett resort for over 55-plus that they're building, and they sent a list of 200-plus names of possible streets for the neighborhood.
That's impressive dedication to your craft.
Yeah. Podcast The Ride. They have a real passion for Margaritaville. Highly recommend if you're into it.
Well, meanwhile, back in Bachelor Nation here, I guess we could check in on Kaylin's snowboarding date, coming hot off the heels of this scandal where it feels like Tayshia and Kirpa have ganged up on Cassie and Kaylin, and Tayshia went to Colton, and she is just such a moral and kind person, and it breaks her heart to have to do this, but it turns out there have been some whispers and some rumors going around that certain people here just not ready,
not here for the right reasons.
Yeah, and strongly intimating that Kaylin and Cassie are maybe two of them. So by the time we get to their snowboarding date, Kaylin knows that something is up, and because if nothing else, Colton is not good at hiding that. He kind of wears his heart on his sleeve a bit. So you could tell there's a little bit of awkwardness. And after the initial date, we finally get to this confrontation, if you like, where Colton quizzes her, and Kaylin does, I would say, a good job of winning Colton back to her side. But I don't know if that's her doing a good job or him just believing whoever had the last word in his ear.
He listens to whoever has the last word in his ear. And God, the whole this episode was a bummer because every date was him like quizzing them. It was like a grand inquisition for like who actually likes me and who's just here for TV, which is, again, all of them. Mm-hmm. So every episode was kind of, every date was like a little bit of a bummer to start with, and it was really hard to watch. And then it's like, let's ruin he always did the questioning in the fun part of the date, like instead of like, let's snowboard and then we'll talk about it over dinner. It's like, let's sit in the snow while you're freezing and me grill you to a point of tears in the snow, and then we're going to go sit in a cabin somewhere and you'll win me back.
Yeah, at that point, you would just tell him whatever he needs to hear so that you could get indoors and not be freezing to death.
Right, because I think she sold it better than later when Cassie does the same argument. Cassie seemed so like checked out as she said it. That said, I think Cassie's probably his choice, so who the heck
knows?
Yeah,
still good enough to win him back over again. But what I can't really figure out is, after he gives Tayshia that the rose, I don't know chronologically how it worked or if they shuffle things around, but after that, he then goes to Kaylin and Cassie, and both of them seem to convince him. So at that point, is he having doubts about Tayshia that he now can't act on because he's already committed and given her the rose? Or is he trying to like split the difference, if you like, where he doesn't know who to believe? So let's just keep them all around and then keep delaying that choice until finally he has to make it.
Listen, they've got to keep some drama around, because if not, you have to start talking about his virginity again. So let's change the narrative. This to me has been another week of, so like, is it just going really boring and they just need some kind of a rumor to like shake things up, or else it's just smooth sailing? It just seems weird. I really liked Tasia, and I was bummed that she had to be the annual season snitch of who's not here for the right reason. Because you never should use your time to talk about others. It is known. So to have this become a new thing where probably maybe Kaylin and Cassie are the front runners, and it's probably something that was planted, because based on later evidence of that, this is the most absurd amount of like deduction everyone's come up with for why they think it's Kaylin and Cassie. It's just, it's annoying. And it's clear like now Colton's going to go through his whole life being like drinking the Kool-Aid that like producers are love and support him and want him to find love, when probably they set this rumor up for him to like succeed or fail and, you know, have doubt in his mind and question everything that he's ever felt for women.
And this is one of many, many reasons why I would never be on The Bachelor. But if someone, like, the idea of someone being completely ready to marry someone after 2 or 3 weeks of knowing them, that would be scarier to me than someone saying, I have some doubt still, because of course I do. I'm human. I'm not fully ready yet. How can anyone possibly be for a commitment that large? And so the idea that this is the crux of the scandal, that someone said they might not be ready, it's like, okay, that's worth investigating and hopefully discussing as adults if you're planning on marrying them eventually. But just that idea by itself shouldn't be enough to tar someone's name or disqualify them in my book.
Right. Like, you can date after the show. You don't have, like, I think the big thing is, of course, that the show ends in a proposal. My man Juan Pablo didn't propose. He just had a ring and said, I like you a lot. Wink. I mean, we're all here for that proposal. That's what happens. You know, Neil Lane has to show up. But I mean, you can just date for a very long time. That's what a lot of them do. Jordan and JoJo have been engaged for how long was that? Like 2-3 years at this point. I mean, it's just a commitment at the end of it. It doesn't necessarily have to mean that you're walking down the aisle 2 days later. It's not that other show on ABC that was like, what was it? You got engaged in an hour.
What do they, as producers, what do you think they want out of this? Is it just the drama? Because they have the tapes. The receipts are right there. They could put this to rest immediately if they wanted to and either clear someone's name or implicate someone else. So are they just, do they just realize that they have good TV here and just are they letting it simmer, or do they have some larger scheme in mind?
I wonder. I mean, it's possible that we could see something that comes up. Maybe there is some footage and they're saving it. You never know. I mean, they want the drama, because if not, it's boring. If nothing happens, it's just going on dates and, you know, then you got Ben Higgins showing up to tell you what's going on.
What's your read? Are you team Tayshia and Kerpa or team Cassie and Kaylin here?
So before, I was definitely I was the team Tayshia at first. But now I'm going back and I keep having these, I'm like a Colton. I just can't decide. Is this production interfering to make some drama? And they both are really into him, especially because I just have like, I feel like that he's probably going to pick Cassie or Kaylin. Or I always forget. Remember Hannah G exists? I don't care for her, but she's on the show and he's obsessed with her too. But she's just around.
I know her name. Like it's in my nose, but I don't think I could pick her out of a lineup.
She's already, so apparently her job is content creator, and she's already on one of those like trendy brand sites as like their ambassador. So she's one that if I had to say, you know, right reasons, wrong reasons, she's high up there. And I would say Cassie's up there, because Cassie has some other reality shows she did in the past, if not like semi-recently ish with her ex-boyfriends. So I don't know. I have my doubts. And I feel like that maybe there are things like that's not being conveyed. So maybe that the reason that people are saying Cassie's not here for the right reasons is that maybe that house knows that Cassie's on another reality show, but they don't dare to speak of those kind of things on The Bachelor.
And I get the vibe that Tayshia is playing the game, for lack of a better phrase, because she did tell Kerpa last week that she thought they could or should be the final two. And I guess it didn't work now that Kerpa's on her way out the door. But clearly she knows what she wants, and she's willing to put a word in Colton's ear in order to get it, which I like. If you are genuinely that in love with him, then that kind of makes sense, right? In a twisted way, that even if it is just an outright lie or fabrication, then you know, you do what you have to do for love, Mel.
You just do it. Maybe she wanted Kerpa on the final two, because if Kerpa was next to her on the final two, she knew like, oh, he's not really into Kerpa, he's into me. Like, it was more of like a strategic alliance. You gotta do
right.
What you gotta
Kerpa's
do.
A goat.
Yeah, maybe the evolution of Bachelor strategy is dating alliances.
I see, we have that be an explicit thing in Bachelor Pad, right? Which is part of why it's such a fantastic concept. But
right.
I'm surprised that it hasn't spilled over explicitly into the main franchise yet. And I'm sure it has. I'm sure there is a little bit of double dealing behind the scenes. And even if it's not in strategic language or whatever, there are people in the house that you like. There are people you don't like. There are people you think might be bigger threats to win over the lead instead, or lesser threats. So some of this is bound to come up. But yeah, it's not as often just out in the open like this.
No, it's like Bachelor. So the strategy is, if there's strategy in The Bachelor, it's be seen, be remembered. So they call you for Bachelor in Paradise. That said, in like a year or two, they're really scraping the barrel. So if you don't have urgency, you'll eventually probably get called because there's nobody else.
Maybe the real genius here is Katie, who, despite not being on the show anymore, has been mentioned by name more times than certainly Hannah G and a few of the others too. So maybe she's the one we should be applauding here. Like, is she more in contention for Bachelor in Paradise or some other benefit now, do you think?
I'd say so for sure. I mean, Sydney, I don't know, because she was such a boring non-entity. Demi was already a lock. I mean, she was the whole time. You just knew this is paradise. You're just biding your time. You're on the bench right now, but we'll see you in the summer. But yeah, Katie, I think she gets a boost, a bump for driving storyline. And I think that's the thing. If a producer tells you, listen, your shots are low, paradise is yours, but people need to remember you. That's all it takes. That's mm-hmm. the gate. That's the strategy is get on paradise. And then when you're on paradise, the strategy is the earlier you get on, the more likely you are to make like alliances to stick around. Because those people who stay on in the beginning are usually keeping each other around. Because I think you also get paid more if you last. Yeah, that's stipend.
And with how they all know each other in real life, I imagine that has to come into play for paradise too, right? Where it's not a blank slate. You're not just a cast of strangers. You are people who have known each other for a while, potentially hooked up with each other in the past. Like it is not a completely even playing field by any means.
Right. They've been sliding into DMs, and I think they have a vague sense of who might show up. Cause I think you rank, I mean, that's also how you unleash the hounds strategically throughout the season. But I think they rank like, who do you want to meet out of this group? So, you know, it's all a game. It's not a game, but it's all a game.
Mm-hmm. So with Cassie and Kaylin, the fact that they are defensive about these allegations becomes further fuel for implicating them. It's, well, you seem so defensive about it, therefore you must have something to hide, which is always a little bit of a dodgy line of reasoning. But it's interesting how this case, if you like, has become a way for fans to project their views about the contestants onto something that's happening, where you have to make up your mind. Where if you liked Cassie and Kaylin coming in, you're probably more inclined to think that they're innocent. Whereas if you have always had doubts in your mind about Tayshia, then you're going to think that, well, she's just playing the game, and Cassie and Kaylin, maybe they did say something, but it's been blown way out of proportion.
It's just, it happens every year. And it goes back to that this show's not invested in you caring about who Colton picks, because they've now villainized, if potentially these are the two girls that he is feeling strongest for. Yet again, I forget Hannah G, but you know, he's feeling strong. But basically that there are two people that they've completely tainted your rooting interest in, because you've now put doubts that they're really there for him. So if he did pick Cassie or Kaylin, you're going to say, yeah, but they weren't even into him anyways. This is all a lie. And if they break up, then it's, I told you so. So it's the problem with the show.
Sure. And Colton will have one more person walk out on him this episode, when on the group date, Heather is going to, in one of the more like tragic and comic shots at the same time of the entire thing, just as she's standing there on the train, not even waving goodbye or anything, just standing there staring into the distance as the train like slinks around the mountains, she will now become, I believe, the third person to walk out on Colton. What do you make of this becoming a trend over the course of the season?
Oh, so smart. Also, it reminded me of Paddington 2, when they cut the train off and he's like slowly riding away. Poor Heather. She made the wise choice. I mean, Heather had never been kissed, allegedly. It just seems like a crazy story, but I don't know. I guess I can't doubt her. That seems mean. But, you know, good honor though, for having the sense to be like, you know what? I'm not that into you. I'm not comfortable introducing you to my family. That I think Heather was there for the right reasons, a little bit. or at least knew when to cut it off to be like, this is not appropriate. And meeting the family was her cutoff.
Do you think it was she expected that she would get cut and therefore why wait to get cut when I can walk out now and take agency over that? Or was it, as you're saying, maybe a more sincere thing where I'm here to find love. I don't think that even if you're up for that, I would be. So I'm not going to potentially let you waste a slot that could be used for someone else in hometowns or get more, or for either of us to get more invested in this than we should be.
Or maybe it's just because Colton spent every date shaming all of them for daring to question if they wanted to get engaged to him at the end of a month and a half.
Yeah.
And she was like, you know what? I'm just, you know, she's like, I can't go through this. I can't do the Inquisition. She didn't want it. That's like, she didn't want to have to cave to the truth that she didn't like him. So she's like, hey, I'm going to run. Also, how'd they get back? Did the train come back for them or did they all walk home?
Yeah, does the train go anywhere? Is it just on a loop around that area? Like that, there are a lot of unanswered questions here that I need some clarity on.
Yeah, the train will haunt us forever. Is it the train from The Good Place, like the Moral Dilemma train thing?
Yeah, we can't afford a helicopter anymore, but we found a train like from the from the Victorian era that we've managed to dredge up for you.
I did. You know, that seemed like, I feel like they could have done better of just having a date, like where they have maybe like some snacks on a train and they never got off the train. You know. Like an old-timey date.
Being there in the freezing Denver cold, like, why not just, you know, make an actual afternoon out of it? But I did find a list on Vulture of all of the warnings that various people have given Colton this season as either he's dumped them or they've dumped him. So just to run down a few of them quickly, you have Sydney saying, quote, with the choices you've been making, you're taking a lot of easier choices with the people you're pursuing. There are some very wonderful people in that group. Find them, figure out who they are. Don't be distracted by shiny things, especially now. You have the wonderful Demi saying, there are certain girls here who seem like a safe choice. But at the end of that, it's not actually going to be safe because you're not going to end up happy in the long run, which is surprisingly profound for Demi, some would say, but definitely on point. You have Katie, whose name is still out there, saying, you have a great group of girls. Some are ready and some aren't. Just be smart about those girls. And that's a comment which apparently won't die. You have Tayshia saying, unfortunately, some girls aren't necessarily in this for the right reasons. I don't want a tattletale, but I do think you should know. You have Kerpa saying, after you gave your speech in Vietnam after Katie left, Cassie and Kaylin were the only two girls that started to panic. Everyone thought that was very strange. Why would you need to be so defensive if everything is right in your heart? Hannah B on her way out said, listen to people about things and their intentions. Everyone seemed to have this advice for Colton, and it's going in one ear and out the other, it seems.
One, I just thought you were reading to me Julius Caesar, Beware the Ides of March. What beautiful warning they're giving. I thought this was Shakespeare coming to life. Two was that then we also, though, saw the advice from Colton's dad, which was don't listen to what anybody says.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's either the best advice that he could get or the worst advice he could get. And I can't decide. I can't make my mind up which one it is. So, Colton seems to be in a real bind here. But as the cast is getting cut down now, we're down to four. We have hometowns coming up. He's going to have to make a decision here. Call your shot now. Firstly, will he even choose someone? Secondly, will they accept? And thirdly, even if both of those things somehow happen, how long is it going to last?
Great, because I was going to ask you how long any of this lasts. Let's see. All right. I've been thinking, so I have a friend who stands by that she's very strong in that he picks Kaylin. That's her stance. I will tell you my friend okay. Allie is hard choice is Kaylin. All right. So I go back and forth because I keep forgetting about Hannah G. And they have like a very physical connection. If you recall last week, as they made out in every location possible in
sadly, I do.
Yeah.
Yes.
That was a lot. That's thing this season. I've had to watch a lot of heavy making out, which is very awkward. I don't even like watching anybody. I don't like PDA. I especially don't. It's weird. I watch again The Bachelor because it's just a lot of making out. It's not as bad as Ari last season, but it's a lot, especially like, where do they keep going to beds? Why are there beds everywhere?
And Colton gets very physical about it, too. There's a lot of, like, pouring going on.
He keeps grabbing the butts. He's a butt man, we figured out. I was thinking Cassie, and I feel like he's going to pick Cassie in a way. But I'm going to go... Oh, all right. Oh, do I go Cassie or Hannah G? I'm having a real torn thing of, like, I guess Hannah G, because I keep forgetting about her.
Sure. Is there Edric for The Bachelor? Like, is there the fact that she is so invisible, is that just a testament to how boring she is? Or is it a sign that when it comes down to it, she's not going to be in the conversation?
So here's what's weird about it, is that I think that's what helps if you read the spoilers, because I do have a coworker. A coworker read the spoilers, and she's telling me if I knew, it would be obvious, or like you can see it, but I don't, which is why I'm actually enjoying loosely of the season, because I don't know. It's at least like I'm on the edge of my seat to know, will Colton sleep with any of these women? Who will he get engaged to? Will this ever last? Also, whoever he picks, it's going to last. I think Colton will go a little longer for the sake of it being Colton. 8 months. 8 months.
Okay. I think that's fair. Yeah.
Whoever, it doesn't matter who he picks. It will be 8 months. It doesn't matter.
You think he does get married though?
No.
Okay.
It ends in 8 months. Sorry. I'm sorry. It's a hard ending in 8 months.
So they say yes.
I in no way think that. Yeah. They say yes. They get engaged. They do the press tour. You know, life's happy. They get their magazine covers. They get some, they post a HelloFresh box together on Instagram, and then it deteriorates in 8 months.
That sounds fair to me. Sorry, what were you going to say?
Yeah. Magic-wise, so normally it's very clear a lot of times who they're picking. They really like someone, they're around. Getting multiple one-on-one dates is usually a good sign. But Ari really threw off the edgic side of The Bachelor, if we're going to think of it that way, which is that Ari was going on all these dates with all these women. And suddenly at like final six, maybe it was later than that. One of the others could tell me, because I block out a lot of Ari's season. He was terrible. Was that suddenly this woman, Lauren B, yet another Lauren B in this franchise, he was suddenly like, I feel so strongly for her or whatever. She had never had really much alone time, always on group dates. It came out of nowhere. So the idea that suddenly she got to final two and then he picked Becca, but then dumped Becca for her, it was a very bizarre like editing choice, because she really wasn't around.
Hold on. There are multiple Lauren Bs.
So Ben Higgins also chose a Lauren B.
So if,
and that was season, was that the season? I remember either Ben or Ari. There was one season where there were like four right. Laurens on a season.
But if there are two Lauren Bs in the same room, how do you distinguish? Is one of them like Lauren BA and the other is Lauren BB, or how do we do that?
I'm going to tell you too. They look alike. They actually looked very much alike. One's pregnant now, so I guess that would be the differentiator.
Have we ever seen them in the same room together? Are we sure they're just not the same Lauren B?
I mean, it's very possible. I've never thought of it. It's very possible. The last time I saw Ben Higgins' Lauren B was somebody sent me a picture of her eating McDonald's at Coachella as a sponsored post. So it could be.
Very intriguing. That might be a fun exercise, actually, is to take a girl who was on, I don't know, a season 10 years ago, give them a different name and just put them in.
Yeah.
And see if anyone at all recognizes them.
I mean, that's what they do when they put them on Bachelor in Paradise. And they're like, I was on a Jake season. And they're like, oh my God, how many years ago was that?
You could just, yeah, they should take someone off the street, put them on Bachelor in Paradise and have them say, yeah, of course I was on Jake's season. Don't you remember me?
Remember when they did that on Bachelor? That was Bachelor Pad 3. They put regular people in and they were like, how dare you come into our franchise? And they voted them all out. I think it was 3.
Yeah, you can't sit with us, as it turns out.
No, and it turns out Aya 6 Degrees of Separation was connected to one of those girls, the Jumbotron operator.
Which may be one of the best chyrons in the history of reality TV, right?
Oh, for sure. I do love that The Bachelor now embraces that, like, the chyrons, like, they either have no jobs or they're pointless, so they're not jobs, they're descriptors.
Has been kissed, yeah.
Yep, has been kissed. That was a great one. Never been kissed, has been kissed. The evolution of Heather.
So the only other thing that I have for now is, of course, Gate, the infamous French jumping incident, which we are yet to see play out in its entirety yet. So this can't possibly be everything that it's hyped up to be. This is guaranteed to be a disappointment, but it's unclear what type of disappointment is going to be. So do you have any theories on this? What is going to spark Colton having his own hashtag Bachelor breakdown here?
Oh, do they tell him that the show's been on for 17 years and he's also been there? That was mine. It's probably gonna be nothing. Everyone's like so excited about Gategate, and I forget about it constantly until everyone talks about it. And they're always like, it's on the preview. They're teasing us. They know it's all they have left is him jumping a gate. Why is he jump a gate? They're making it seem like it's going to be like a very emotional, like it's probably like, you know what? I'm going to do a thing where like maybe one of the girls quits and realizes that she is there for the wrong reasons and not into him. And then he has a breakdown and has to escape the mansion or wherever. Because it looks like it's back at Bachelor Mansion, because where else do they have gates like that?
I don't know. Is that a LA specific gate? My gateology is not that advanced, unfortunately.
No, I feel like gate's like a real LA, but like whenever you see like a celebrity's house, like in a movie, they're like pull up to the gate. So I'm assuming it's got to be in California. All right. So yeah, I'm going to say final three or final four, somebody's going to quit. Colton's going to get upset and jump a gate.
That might
be really funny if he then broke his leg too. That would be amusing.
That would be the cherry on top. Coming off three people, I think it's three, right, having quit already, for the fourth person to do that, at what point, if you're Colton, do you think this is all some Truman Show style setup where everyone is in on the joke and you're just being played the whole time? Because you really have to fail in love for four different people to walk out on you on your own season of The Bachelor.
I mean, you should have figured out it's the Truman Show on episode one where like every girl got out of the limo and made a joke about him being a virgin. And they're like, wait a minute, something's off here.
The producer's definitely all on his side after that one somehow.
Yeah, he's probably, as soon as that happened, he was probably like, he did a Job Bluth, I've made a huge mistake.
And he's just, he's committed now. He's the cost is sunk. There's no way he can go back. So he has to just see it through to the bitter end.
It's a deal with the devil to hopefully get on, you know, Dancing with the Stars, or maybe he can be a broadcaster. That's the goal of it, right? Keep it going. Get your spot. If you're the lead, you have a better shot at some of those big opportunities. What else is there besides Dancing with the Stars? I don't know. Maybe on like Worst Chefs in America with Anne Burrell, you know.
I worry that Colton might be the type, though, who having this taste of fame and for this to play out the way it did might just permanently wreck him psychologically.
Oh, I think so. I mean, if we, and maybe that's why they were like, we can't mentally break Blake anymore after what we did with Becca and his like history of how he deals with relationships. So like, who seems like the one that we can torture a little bit better? And they're like, Colton.
Yeah. And it seems like they're already gearing up to wash their hands of him and this season entirely as soon as it's all said and done.
Oh yeah. Once you're done, you're done. I mean, they're past that era too. And maybe that does go back to the idea of like, is the show really into their weddings and stuff and them being happy? Because they used to air the weddings on TV. And now, I mean, granted they happen very rarely, but you know, they're not airing those anymore. You see a wedding, it's like at Bachelor in Paradise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that covers everything that I have, but I don't know what I don't know yet. There is an entire Bachelor universe full of drama that's mostly unknown to me. So if the floor is yours. If there is anything that you want to expound upon at length, then now is the time to do so.
Let's see. God, I could go on so much about this show, this season. I know I sound like a real hater on it, which is fun, and I'm on here as like the expert. I do deep down love this disaster of a show. Like I said, I come in, I look for these dates. I love to mock it. I love my friends who watch it. We all sit and talk about it. It's a social thing. It brings you together.
Well, hey, definitely come back at some point to unload more of those thoughts. But for now, is there anything that you're just bursting to get off your chest?
Just, I can't wait for Paradise. That's really it. This is just all a lead up to like, I want to see Demi again. I want to see all these disasters who have been fighting and to get them on Paradise. And here's my other take. I thought of this. I talked to my mom about it this week because we also, of course, episode's over, got to call my mom, discuss amongst other, again, it's social.
I'm trying to imagine talking to my mom about The Bachelor, and it is the most inconceivable thing I could possibly imagine.
My mom watches all the shows, all the reality shows. We talk about them in depth. Talk about Survivor, Big Brother. My dad is one of the world's biggest Big Brother fans.
It's family goals, honestly.
Yeah, we're real blessed in what we talk about. But my brother doesn't really watch it. He's the outcast of it, but he might dabble in a little here and there. But his fiance watches these things. So it's like me, my mom, and my future sister-in-law, and we all talk about, you know, The Bachelor and Bravo shows Okay, so this was my thing this week that I said, which is that if Cassie and Kaylin are there for the wrong reasons and they're insisting, I'm here for the right reasons, I'm only here for Colton, call their bluff, don't make them the bachelorette. Don't offer them paradise. Don't give them anything. You are here for Colton and nothing else. Call their bluff, because then they will. Because everyone's there to just get the opportunity. Nobody's really there just for that one thing. It's a, this could happen, but best case scenario, I get to go on a free trip to Mexico and get paid. I get to be the bachelorette and go to Singapore on my own and have 20 guys fawning after me.
That is one thing I've heard about this season, is that there's no obvious choice for the next bachelorette. And if you are looking at this season, you really are scraping the bottom of the barrel in terms of who you look at, because the people who don't like Cassie or Kaylin obviously don't want either of them. I think Tayshia was maybe in the mix for a while, but people seem to have called on her a lot, especially with the whole snitching thing this previous week. So I guess there's Hannah B, but I don't really get the hype there either. So are they just going to skip this season entirely, have to go back a year, or how are they going to resolve that, do you reckon?
Demi for Bachelorette.
I mean, I'm here for it, but I don't know if they would be.
Yeah, not happening. She is, that is paradise material. Yeah, that's the problem. They've made everybody except for Hannah G into like a villain, because people didn't like Hannah B. And I mean, a good way to figure out like popularity is, you know, you go check to see who has a lot of followers on Instagram. And that helps. I guess like if Hannah G technically is the one that would be most likable to be the lead, but she's like real boring. I could walk past her on the street right now and I would not know who she was.
Yeah.
Or I wouldn't recognize her.
Are there 20 men out there who have fallen madly in love with Hannah B, who are just raring for a chance to win her over?
They are raring for that chance, for that free trip to Mexico to go to paradise.
As we
for
all
that
are.
All-inclusive vacation. That's where I want to go. I want to go on vacation there. Honest. How many times have I researched that resort? More than I would like to admit.
Yeah,
I have looked it up.
Not blaming them at all. I mean, it's relatable content for sure. It's just, you know, it would be nice if they were there for the stated premise of the show sometimes.
Yeah, it would be nice. I mean, I'm sure there's a couple people who apply and they're genuine, but, you know, it's all reality TV.
But on that note, Mel, thank you very much for coming on and setting me straight and all the people out there straight about this season of The Bachelor. Where can people be finding you, either burning The Bachelor or talking about other things if they're so inclined?
Well, you can follow me on Twitter at MelGotServed. I have a blog where I do recap The Bachelorette and Survivor, MelGotServed.com. So you can go there where I snark on the shows that I both crap on and love so much. Though Survivor is more of a genuine love. The Bachelor is my mixed bag of I just can't quit the nonsense that it is.
You love to hate to love, some combination of that.
It's all of the, yeah, love to hate love. It's ingrained in my blood and I keep watching, and maybe one day I will finally have that full breakdown where I, you know, wash my hands of the show, but unfortunately I can't seem to do it.
Well, I cannot promise that I will be watching or tweeting about The Bachelor for the rest of the season, but if I am, you can find that on Twitter at DomHRV. You can find Colin, of course, at Colin Stone. We will be back with our regular programming, shows that both of us actually watch and enjoy at some point in the near future. But for now, thank you all for listening, and we'll talk to all of you again soon. Take care, everyone.